Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. And our show is brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints, smoother than smooth. Segway, Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He's pretty smooth. At Vince Sports on Twitter. Boy, did he put out a stat about third quarters for the Vols. We'll get into all that and more. Vince, how you doing?
I'm good. Appreciate the segue. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, we said it all week. This UT-Arkansas matchup was going to be very, very intriguing because of our conversation that we had this time last week with you, the way the schedule looks the rest of the way for Tennessee. If you don't get this one, yikes. Texas A&M, Auburn, and Florida still remaining on the schedule with only Vanderbilt as your hope for a win. If you don't beat Arkansas, things looked really good in the first half. And got to be honest, this is now 2 second halves where you go, it can't get any worse. Georgia and now this game where the Vols looked absolutely pathetic and lost in the second half. Looked like a totally different team now twice this year.
Yeah, and they had a short-term philosophy to, you know, end up with a good result at halftime yesterday, decided to run, and look, that will work for a certain period of time, and it did. I don't think you can sustain that in winning college football today. I mean, I know you can't do that. It got them, they're protecting their quarterback clearly, and trying to manage through it. They had success running the ball. It's just then you start to have the mistakes. You can't stop people. You're forced to have to throw a little bit more, and you can't run as effectively. Teams make halftime adjustments, and Tennessee is not doing a very good job of that. It's a multitude of things, but you're right. It is ugly to watch, and it wasn't great in the first half. But at least it wasn't. You thought that there might be some sort of improvement coming out of the bye week. When you take a step back and look at the totality of the game and the result, Darren, there was an improvement. I don't care if you say, well, this guy did this or this guy did this, and we thought we did some good things, and it's what Jeremy Pruitt was talking about today. It's a results business, and the result was not improved, just like that whole discussion about catching Alabama and everything. It's about the result, and they're not catching Bama, and they're getting passed over by first-year head coaches as well. And, you know, I told you guys on the show last week that I thought Arkansas would win that game, and it's not good when you come out of the bye week looking like that and getting that kind of result that fans just won't stand for.
Nope. And, by the way, I lost count of how many three and outs they had on offense in the second half. Like, I was like, how many times are they just going to go three and out every possession in the second half? I mean, and expect to win? Like, you're toast and pretty pathetic, in what they were trying to do. Like you said, they were pretty effective running the ball, but at some point you have to do something a little bit different. Nothing was working. And I know we've talked about this a lot, and Garantano got hurt on that play where he kind of did the helicopter jump and gets flipped around, and that would be the end of his night. But I don't know how many more times we have to say it. I don't understand what they see that we don't, because I said the two guys in particular sandwiched in between Garantano and Bailey, and I guess Brian Maurer is first up. Like, Brian Maurer I don't want to be too critical of a student athlete, but it's just not good enough. And I don't know what they see in him, but there's nothing. There's nothing there. And I don't know how he can be your best option. And finally, they leave them no choice, just like what we've been saying every time they've tried to take Garantano out when it's not an injury, to give these other guys any opportunity to do something, to give them any sign of life. They fail miserably. I don't know how they have gotten to this point where this has been the best option, and finally it gave them no option but to finally put in the freshman. To this day, it's like a lot of Butch Jones moves in the past. I will scratch my head and never understand what Jeremy Pruitt's approach and this coaching staff approach has been to this point with their quarterback play.
Well, fans, and you're right on those points, Darren, but what fans' rebuttal to that has been that we've seen and heard is, well, he's given Garantano 4 years, but he'll only give Maurer or Shroud a couple of series.
Well, I don't need to see 4 years from those guys. Honestly, everybody would lose their minds if they saw 4 years from those guys, in my opinion.
Well, lose their minds, and the coaches would lose their jobs far before that, so you would never see it. People act like Jerry Garantano has never completed a forward pass in his career, and he is not. He has not been good enough. There's no doubt about that. His inconsistencies when he turns the ball over, I get all of that. But part of the dilemma is what is behind him, and whether it's Trout or Maurer, those guys are not the quarterbacks of the future. And Maurer, you're right, it's tough because he had so many things happen in his personal life. He was very forward and open about talking about, you know, thoughts of suicide. He's dealt with so many concussions and a lot of adversity. He lost his grandfather, lost his childhood dog. So there's just been a lot of things in his personal life, hamstring injury in the preseason. So there's a lot of things working against the kid. We've never talked to him, so I don't know what kind of kid he is, but you root for somebody to come back from adversity like that, but just have not been able to string together anything to tell you that he is a quarterback of the future. Same with JT Shroud. And then with Harrison Bailey, they just don't feel he's ready. And interesting, Jeremy Pruitt told Tom Hart and the crew from the SEC Network that they didn't want to throw him out there and put him in harm's way, basically. That's something he has not said to us in the media and the Zoom interviews and things like that. I thought that was very interesting. That, to me, is an indictment on his football team. If he knows that he puts him out there, he's going to get killed and crushed and ruin his confidence, things like that. So that's the problem, is they're not the alternatives. And so now their response has been to dumb down the game and protect the quarterback. Well, today Pruitt was talking about we need to be a lot more aggressive. He's talking about being aggressive. So now they've gone from putting players in harm's way and then, you know, calling out routes on third and four. There was a 40-yard throw.
Didn't understand that play at all.
Right.
Didn't understand.
Never throwing the ball. In Alabama, they're super conservative. And even what didn't make sense, too, from a play-calling standpoint, Darren, is they were so conservative the entire first half. They are backed up like inside their own 20, and they're throwing the ball. And Garantano gets sacked. You're going to be conservative, and then in the final seconds of the half, you're going to throw out of your own end? That didn't make any sense. So there's just a lot of things that are a part of that quarterback issue. And today he even said that the circumstances at quarterback are relative to those around you. I would disagree. To some degree, yes. But over extended periods of time, the quarterback can enhance and should the circumstances around you.
I just don't understand all this hubbub and what you pay Jim Chaney and make him – is he the highest paid OC, right?
Yeah.
50 rushes to run the ball 50 times and only attempt 21 passes. And quite honestly, most of those passes were all late when they were trying to play catch-up. I mean,
right.
you need Jim Chaney to attempt 21 passes when you're behind and try to run 50 running plays, which was bulk early on when, you know, they really weren't – they weren't – I mean, you don't need anybody. You could get anybody. The point is you could get anybody to do that game plan.
Yeah, Darren, late in that ball game, until the garbage time at the end and Bailey trying to come back, and we'll get to that decision in a moment to not kick the field goal. But Tennessee, for almost towards the end of the game, had 42 passing yards. 42. Good luck into the
what was it on eight? Eight attempts, right? Eight attempts for 42 yards is what it was, or 10 attempts?
Yeah, it was very little. But still, it's not like they're being productive with the attempts or completions. And then if you look at the last three games, Tennessee, three games combined total, 317 yards passing in a three-game stretch. Kyle Trask had 474 against one of the best defenses in the country Saturday alone. He might have had that total in, you know, a couple, two, three quarters. So you just can't win that way. And I don't know if they're going to go back to opening things up. To me, you can't win just run. You need balance and you need explosive plays. And one of the better things that Garantano does is throw down the field and you take those deep shots. And so they've got to have some explosive plays. And it's just, you know, and just real quick on that decision at the end, they're down 11 points, about 5 minutes to go. And Jeremy Pruitt's a 42-yard field goal. It's fourth and four. And Jeremy Pruitt decides to go for it after they ran on the first three downs. So now Harrison Bailey, his first pass of the game is on fourth down.
His first career pass is on fourth and four.
No, he played a little bit a few games ago. I think it was the end of the Kentucky game.
That's right.
Yeah. But, I mean, just first meaningful throw. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And so you wouldn't let him throw before that, and then you're going to let him throw on fourth and four. Yes, you could say there was a pass interference, early contact, but you take the points and you extend the game. And I asked Jeremy Pruitt about that in the post game, and he said, well, the distance, we thought it was too far. And, you know, Samaglia, the kicker, had some issues and health issues during the week, blah, blah, blah. He made a couple longer field goals in the game. So I don't understand that. And, oh, by the way, you're putting them in a tough situation. And then I followed up and asked Pruitt about it today. Did you go back and reconsider that? And he said, well, it didn't work, and we didn't get the first down. So, yeah, if I had to do it again, it'd be different because it didn't work. So I just didn't understand that. Oh, by the way, after that, guys, they won on the final drive when Bailey was throwing all those checkdowns to the running backs, barely moving up and down the field. Then they got to – you know, at the end of the game, kick the field goal to try to get to within eight so you can onside kick and have a little bit of time. You're throwing a ball into the end zone in the final seconds of the game. It didn't, you're down two scores. It doesn't matter at that point. He did bring that up where they looked at that as well. But, I mean, just those kind of things are head-scratching.
Vince Ferrara is with us. And, Vince, you just hit on so many details that it's funny, the three of us, me, Chase, and Darren, were all texting each other while this was going on. So we were doing this in real time before we knew the results of what they tried. But that was odd to me. On top of all the other things that have gone wrong, the game management, I have not seen something at that level where it was head-scratching for what they were doing. I go back to the question that we hit with two weeks ago when they were going into the bye week, is what is their outlook of Bailey? To me, so much is riding on that. And I've used the reference of Kyle Shurmur saved Derek Mason's job. He'd been long gone had they not had Kyle Shurmur emerge his true freshman year when they gave him the reins late in the season. He won a couple of games against some weak teams. No, it wasn't Tennessee the freshman year. They beat Missouri and Kentucky his freshman year, which were awful teams, but Vanderbilt was horrible. But as we know, Kyle Shurmur got them to two bowl games and some wins over Tennessee, and you know he gave them good, solid SEC quarterback play. They haven't gotten that from the guys that they have. So here they are with Harrison Bailey, and you're right. They did say, hey, we didn't want to throw him to the Wolves, etc. But is he just not as good as we thought, or what's the outlook for him? Because in hindsight, it looks crazy that they went to him when they did, and not maybe just give him a chance earlier in that game or even start him in that game?
Well, to me, it was more of an indictment on Maurer. I mean, there was just a lot of panic there, and Maurer had a couple of near interceptions, at least one that was a clear drop. Oh. So, that's what you can't do is turn the ball over. That's where Pruitt will yank you, and that's been the case. They've gone to Maurer or Stroud every time. So I think at that point that their only decision was to go to Bailey. I'm not ready to say the kid isn't good. He was behind the eight ball in terms of his preparation, but at this point, I think if Garantano isn't ready, it's got to be Harrison Bailey, and you got to figure it out. Enough of this. You see how the week of practice goes and all that, and it may have to do that based on Garantano's availability, which Pruitt right now says day to day. If I'm preparing Harrison Bailey first team, I'm letting it go. And I'm letting the kid have an opportunity with a full week practice. I said that over the bye week. If they were going to do it, they needed to do it from the jump. I'm not going to just limit his practices during the week and then throw him out there. And so that's what I would do. Here's your opportunity to see what the kid can do with a full week. And if it doesn't work out, guess who can come off the bench because he's done it successfully for you if he's healthy. So I think this is the chance. It's 2020. It's not the typical football season where you feel like you have to wait for this, this, and this. They got to let it go. Maybe the kid surprises you when you don't think he's ready. So I don't know that they're going to do that. I think they're going to wait it out. And then if Garantano's ready, I think they'll play Garantano. But honestly, at this point, that's not what I would do. You got to see what you can, because maybe you can do more with the offense. Jim Chaney, I just don't think has the trust in Garantano. And if this kid shows you, build some trust with them, then maybe you can expand the offense. You can do some things and you have some sort of upside. If you're going to call plays like they did in the last couple of games, they're not going to go anywhere one way or the other, whether Garantano throws interceptions or not.
That's really interesting, because I go back to the question. Floyd Reeves was the one that put it sort of in the NFL terms, mm-hmm. of you're a coach, you have some job security, you got the extension, you know that your quarterback play isn't good enough, and you've got a recruit that you think has some good tools. So I haven't watched Bailey play that much, but he looks like he throws a pretty good ball. You can see the raw skills that he does have. So Floyd's thing was, let the kid play. Even if you take a step back this year, you'll be in better position to start next year, which will be critical for you. If you can assess honestly, your team's really not going to go that far anyway this year, especially with the quarterback play. So all of that, of course, that we know that what they did. They stuck with Jarrett Garantano, and they still lost to Arkansas. So the question is, if Garantano doesn't get hurt, do you think Tennessee could have won that game? Especially knowing the way they were calling, the way they had sort of tightened up, and the momentum was completely going against them at the time he goes out.
No, I don't think they win that game, because it is much more than just the quarterback position, which is what everybody is focused on. But Tennessee can't stop the slant pattern. I don't know why Arkansas didn't go to it over and over and over again. I don't get it. When they did it, they were successful. And they decided to try to do zone reads and options with Franks. Throw the stinking slant. That's what everybody else has done. And that's what everybody else will continue to do, including this Saturday A&M, and they're really good at it. So the defensive issues for Tennessee continue to be a problem. And obviously, as Darren kind of alluded to, the third quarter has been a mess. I mean, on the season, Tennessee has been outscored 81-24 in the third quarter. It's actually, they've only scored in their four-game losing streak. They only have 7 points in the third quarter. In the second half of games this year, they've been outscored 88-7 in the second half. I mean, it doesn't matter what the first half is. You have no chance. And so those are really alarming numbers, clearly. And then third, the opponents have had 17 possessions in the second half and 17 drives in the third quarter, 9 touchdowns and 5 field goals. So it's much more than the quarterback. I don't think the changes. I think it's the issues in the second half, confidence level, not making the adjustments that the opponents are. And so it's to be that bad, it's a lot of different things. So it's more than just the quarterback, even though that's obviously a big one that they need to figure out if they're going to do anything in the future in improving this program.
Vince Ferrara is with us, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville. I want to go back to a quick conversation that you were just having about Jim Chaney. So you do or you don't think that a change could happen there? Not this year, but if somebody's got to go, do you think it's Chaney?
On the staff, no, I don't think so. Unless, I mean, not right now, not during the season. Now, could it after the season? Oh, yeah, because Pruitt's not going anywhere. So if the seat's getting warmer, there's changes to the staff. And I think Chris Wincke, obviously, with the quarterback position being such an issue, I think he's one that certainly – you could see a change there. Jim Chaney also has not been the quarterback's coach. He's involved with everything on the offense, but he's not the quarterback's coach. He helps out, obviously he runs the offense, but he helps out with the line and he's not there every day. You have a specific quarterback coach. Maybe they make a move with that and have Chaney take over, the QB coach duties as well if he's there next year. But I think part of the problem, Chase, is the fact that this coaching staff, this program, has constant changes every year to their staff. Under Jeremy Pruitt, they had a bunch of them. And then they also moved guys from one position to another. I think I might have mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago. Jacob Warren, tight end for Tennessee, he talked to the media a couple weeks ago, and he said Joe Osavet was in his first year as tight ends coach when he was an off-the-field analyst type of role prior to. He said that Coach O admitted to that he didn't know a whole lot about the tight end position, that he kind of had to learn, but you wanted feedback from the players, and then he was invested. And Warren was trying to really compliment him, but when you have a young head coach, you hired a couple of new assistants that are still on the youngish side, you're moving guys to different positions, like Brian Niedermeyer, the linebackers. And now you're having a coach of the tight end, of the tight end position, that has to learn the position on the go. I mean, that's a lot of moves every single year. Oh, by the way, you lost your strength and conditioning coach, first year head strength and conditioning coach as well. I think that's part of the issues is at some point it catches up with you, all of the staff turnover. But I think you will see more of that next year because the coach is typically the last to go.
So how much do you think the staff trusts Jeremy Pruitt right now?
Well, I mean, anytime things aren't going well, Chase, it's certainly a possibility. I mean, Jim Chaney, there's reports that, there just wasn't, trust or camaraderie between, Smart and Jim Chaney. I don't know exactly how that relationship was, but for him to move from that situation and come to Tennessee, it was a little bit initially head-scratching, even though, he talked about how he loved his time at Tennessee and all that. So when things aren't going well, I'm sure that maybe relationships could get strained. Is it enough for him to leave on his own or for Pruitt to part ways on him? I don't know. But I think, to me, with his track record, he maybe should have the most rope out of them because he has developed quarterbacks and done a good job. I think the bigger issue is he's really limited or spooked or however you want to talk about it and not have the trust because of the quarterback position. And then you wonder how much Pruitt is coming in there and saying, all right, now we got to run the ball, because he did mention that earlier this year. We got to be more committed to the run. So then they run and can't do anything. And now Pruitt's talking about, we got to be more aggressive. So is there a frustration level there? Does Jim Chaney think, all right, I'm trying to do what you want me to, but then I can't? Not saying that's the case, but you have to wonder that when they keep going these other directions from game to game and not getting the results either way. So, there's probably it could very well be some of that behind the scenes and us not being around the program like we typically would you know, it's harder to know that right now exactly.
How much concern, you know, while we've been talking, it's come out that Sam Pittman tested positive for COVID-19. Barry Odom named the interim coach at Arkansas. So do you think that should be a concern on everyone's mind since Tennessee just played Arkansas?
Yeah, it's still so new. I mean, obviously Pruitt's press conference has already been done, so we didn't get a reaction. And Pruitt, you know, has talked about how they haven't had any COVID positives in like 6 weeks for a long time. So that you hope that there's not any sort of carryover, that they, if they talked in pregame like coaches typically do, that they both had their masks on and they weren't at risk. So, I'm sure it's something that it will heighten the stress level in the walls at UT because they've been able to avoid it. You just don't want to add that to the complication. So I don't know exactly what the ramifications will be, Chase, but I think it's certainly worth concern and maybe, you know, extra tests and just to make sure you don't get any more people that have to be shut down because of it.
I'm still waiting for the news today that Notre Dame's going to have to shut down their program after Saturday night.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know, don't get me started on that. Like, I mean, please, you limit fans, but then you're going to let them all run onto the field.
Unbelievable.
I mean, are you really concerned about COVID, or is that just a presentation? Come on.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable sight to see. I mean, just, you know, putting a wet blanket on an incredible game and an incredible finish, and then you see that, and it's just like everybody just all of a sudden goes from unbelievable, you know, just, wow, that was awesome, to bitter beer face. Like, are you kidding me? And shaking your head like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Anyway.
Yep. Well, Vince, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville, joins us every Monday at noon. A lot more to discuss with the Vols. A little bit later on, you'll hear from Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach at 1:15. But first, Darren, you have a word. Give us a word.
If you do have a reaction about what you just heard, then give us a call. We're going to be talking about the rest of this hour, 615-737-1025. And I do have a word about this weekend's major golf tournament, along with pro and college football. It's going to be a full slate of action this week and in the weekend. There will be no shortage of action, and DraftKings Sportsbook is your place. It's America's top-rated sportsbook, and it wants to put you in the center of it all to celebrate Sunday's action. DraftKings is going to ensure all new users that you are covered up to $100. Yep, that's right. You bet. They cover you risk-free on Sunday. Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action, DraftKings will have a special promotion and an odds boost every day of this year's tournament at Augusta, Georgia. So download the top-rated sportsbook DraftKings app now and use the promo code 1025GAME. And when you sign up, you'll ensure all Sunday's bets up to $100 by using the code 1025GAME. During your sign-up for a limited time, that's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only, risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.